Our third topic is Shoresh V'Yesod Mrs. Dalminim. The basic idea, the basic character of Mrs. Dalminim, and I intend here not the sorts of explanations that Chazal already engaged in, and since then has proliferated, I think, in Chassidish Sfarim in particular, about that is represented by each of the Dalminim. This is more of a halachic evaluation of this question of the nature and the Yesod, the basic idea of Mrs. Dalminim. The story here for us starts with the question of Psul Yavish, and in particular, she just arrived in the Mishnah in Sukkah, in the beginning of the third parak, of a guzzle of a Yavish puzzle. So a shriveled, dried, whether or not I should say shriveled and dried is a question. It's a question of the shear of Yavishus. But a dried up lulav is puzzle. So the Gemara Alatar addresses the question, the necessary question to ask, which is, what is the basis for that psul? Why is it puzzle? And it implies bishlam yavish chadar bina meleka. The context the Gemara is addressing is, why is it that the implication of this case of the Mishnah is that these are puzzle called shiva? And the Gemara says, we understand with respect to lulav hayavish, that's puzzle called shiva because chadar bina meleka, but with regard to lachem, we don't understand. Okay, that's not our issue. What it is just the fact that the Gemara here expresses the notion, it seems, that the basis for Psul Yavish is simply that it is not Hadam. It's not Mehudar. It's not beautiful. This is both the implication here, as well as the implication on Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara says, basically, that we have a Hekish creates Hadar on the Pasuk that's said specifically about the Esrog. Obviously, Yavlub is Pasul Mishum Yavish, it means that we're transplanting the Psul Yavish with regard to Esrog to Lulav, and that the Gemara says based on Hekesh Makshin Hadadani, the Dalaminim, so that just like you have with regard to Esrog Hadar Bikra, there's a requirement that it would be that it be beautiful, so too you have with regard to the Lulav, and the reason that Lulav Yavish is Pasul is because it lacks Hadar. That's what seems to be the Pashas of the Gemara. But there are some that give, it would seem, different explanations, and you have to, of course, wonder how it works with the Gemara. But Rashi, for instance, is famous for bringing up Alatar, the question of Zekeh Livamei, which seems to be a more general principle regarding Hidur Mitzvah, which poses those questions, but not our topic for now, just giving you a sense that there are other psulim, other Yisodos psul. The Baal Maor raises another one, that maybe this is an application of the din of Hakirvan of Techasaf. But what we're going to focus on here is the sheet of the Ravid. The Ravid initially discusses this, and he comes to the conclusion that this is indeed the basis of the psul. Yavish is based on Hadar, and the implication is then, according to the Ravid, based on other Gemaras later on, the implication is that it's only going to, in the end, be puzzle for Yom Rishon. This relates to a question which I didn't want to really focus on so much. But there are two Gemaras that discuss Mechilat Yom Tov Rishon versus Yom Tov Sheni in Tulav HaGazel. The first Gemara on that initial Gemara which you just saw, which seems to say that Yah Hadar is Kol Zayin versus Lachem, which is only Rishon. And later on, the Gemara says, I have it on the. I do believe I discussed it. I put it on the first because right? Is that correct? And later on, the Gemara says on Laman Vav and Beis that Esrog Shenakvuah Achbarim. So the way we pass them, what we assume is that is kosher Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore he had an Amora who used to actually eat his Esrog, and he would still be able to use it. That's an interesting story in itself. Not for now, but the shita that emerges from that story is that soul of chaser is not knowing for kol shiva. Now, how those two align with each other is a discussion. Seemingly, they don't. Two questions. One is, first of all, what are we talking about when we talk about Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni? And here, Rishonim have different opinions about it. Some think that the Gemara entirely is talking about Deraisa. We're all talking about just the Deraisa, the mitzvah Deraisa lulav be gvulin Yom Rishon versus mitzvah Deraisa lulav be mikdash kol zayin smachim lefnei shem kiyach mishivas yamim, which we're going to get to. That's what the discussion there is. What about the stira? So some Rishonim say there's different psulim. that's the resolution. Maybe Kasser is not Mishkan Hadar, Kasser is an independent soul. Some other kind is Chatama, tells us his explanation. Others think that the discussion of Yom Rishon and Tosheni is talking about Hagam Jerichon Chaim and Zaka. Now, there's no distinction between Mikdash and Gvulin. That's all the derises have the same name. The question is only on the Rabbanon level with regard to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai. And again, the resolution then would be possibly the different Tzulim. Or Yom Rishon and Tosheni mean different things in different cases. That's the Ramban. I don't know if you got a chance to see, but that's the Ramban's. He says this is the key to the Shmua of the Sugya here. He's the one who, as far as I know, is the only one who adopts this, that there's actually two different sets of discussions. One is regarding mitzvahs, mitash kol zayin, chilek between bulin and kol zayin, which is lachen, that's the beginning daf, that's the first daf in the parak, and then later on the discussion is between tachemtim with zakai and deoraisa. Hadar is required kol zayin for the mitzvah deoraisa, and not for the mitzvah derabana. That's so what the Mishnah, the Gemara is talking about in the beginning is calls Ayin, but the Gemara is talking about at the end is in Lamed Vav is Tekan Zakai, so it's the same soul, it's just different things that were being mechatam people. Okay, the Ravid didn't take this approach. The Ravid, who thought along the Ramam, we're just dealing in these Gemaras, the issue of the Chilak here is between Mikdash, Kozayin, and Gvulin Yom Rishon. It's true that'll impact Tekan Zerichon Zakai, assumption of the Shon is that the country with Zakai will follow the mitzvahs mitzvah from the Torah, but that's not what the chiluk emerges. But it's talking about the same thing. They're both talking about mitzvah minat Torah versus gulim minat Torah. So what's the resolution then? So the Rabbi held that the resolution was that we have the machlokas asugus, not different sulim like Tosfos, not different yamim like the Ramban, but different opinions. So the opinion that the Gemara registers in the beginning here that Hadar is required Kol Zayin, that's one opinion. What we paskin like it was the later opinion and holds that Hadar is only soul for Yom Rishon. The way he explains it is Mikra Nidrash Lefan of Ula Acharav, so that when it says subsequent to the words Yom Rishon creates Hadar, that also is required specifically be Yom Rishon, so that in Mikdash Minotaurus is arrived, you don't require Hadar. So in the end, says the Ravid, the soul of Yavish.
Maybe I missed it. Where does the Ravid actually spell out what you just said?
Which part of what I just said?
Meaning that it goes to Nidrash Lelefan of Ula Acharav?
I wonder if I have it here. He says.
I can find it in the Ravid.
Oh, no?
It's in Bob.
You have it? It's in the beginning of. It's in the very beginning of the Machbaris. These are in Bob's word.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's the next. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't see the next paragraph. We had stopped at the first paragraph.
Okay.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly what I just said.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what the Ravid says initially. And then at the end of this, the Ravid, who had a sort of the kind of intellect that was a restless intellect, as the Balmor and the Rerir was characterized as a chacham shit, who not so him and nechasa, constantly pushing him. So something gnawed at the Ravid. And this is what he says at the end of the Machberis. He says, you know what, I'm not happy with something I said at the very beginning of this. And that is that, basically, what I've suggested, and it says the Ravid is that, right, the Ravid has a scheme, I think I called attention to this in the Machberis, right, the Ravid has a scheme about what, in the end, separates the soul that is Noe Kol Zayin versus a soul that's only Noe Yom Rishon. Basically, the quality and conditions of the Dalamidim, whether or not the aesthetic quality or the condition in terms of my relationship with it, like the Fem, those are things which, in the end, are only posel Yom Rishon. Things that have to do with identity, this emerges in the Rabbi's discussion of Pavos, things that have to do with identity, that determine that this thing is one of the Dalminim, those dinim are no hei kol zayin, the simple reason being, of course, the mitzvahs, the mikdash requires Dalminim. Right? So the quality of those Dalminim, those things, the dinim that are related to the quality, how the condition of it, those things are only knowing Yom Rishon. What is Noah B'chol Zayin is just, you need to make sure that you have the Dalaminim. So it didn't, like, as an example, it says Avos is Mechadish in that context. Avos, right, the Hadashotah, says the Ravid, is not a deficient Hadas, it is not a Hadas. It is not one of the Dalaminim. A Hadashotah is not an Avos. Right, it's a B'shem Adimin, he says. It refers not to the quality of the Hadas, but the identity of it as the Hadas in this Mitzvah. So that he suggests is something which is applicable in all cases, as is the union of Kisuse Maxa Shire, right, which has to do with whether or not you have the thing there. So things that have to do with having the Dalaminim in your possession, those are Noe Kozain. Right, so if it's either an orange, it won't be Kasher Vimikdash, or if it's Hadashote, which is not Itzavos, it won't be Kasher Vimikdash, or if you have something there which is halakhically not there, like you do say Maxa Shire, also that will be undermining your ability to be Mikhaim Mitzvah, even Kozain. But things that have to do with conditions, Hadar is an example, Lachem is an example, those do not. So that was what the rabbi, the scheme he established. Nekra Nidra Shofana V'Afra is the hermeneutical principle behind it, but in the end, what that opinion holds in terms of the concepts is that the psulim having to do with conditions and qualities of the Dalvinim, those are relegated to Yom Rishon. What is Noe Kozayin are things that undermine the very existence and identity of the Dalvinim. And according to what he says, Yavesh is possible only the Yom Rishon. But this, in the end, was something that bothered him. And he comes back to it at the end of the Machberes. Mukashali, he says, Kevish Yom Rishon possible. What's the problem? The problem is literally. Is you have now one psul that sticks out like a sore thumb in that Mishnah. The Mishnah, Luva Yavesh, Guzzel, Shalashera, all these psulim are of the variety that undermine the existence and shame of it, with one exception, which is Guzzel, which is Mitzvah Veyro, but for the rabbi, the apostles, Kozayim also. So all these psulim are psulim Kozayim, except for the one, which is Yavesh. And that he was uncomfortable with. And he was aware of that initially, and in the end, he was uncomfortable with. How could the Mishnah present these psulim as if they're all of the same variety, when one of them is just the psul of Yom Rishon, and the rest of them are psulim Kol Zayin? So this is what bothered him. Until he found, he says, the Yerushalmi. Let's see. What does Yerushalmi say? Yerushalmi says, Yavish Pasul, Rabbi Avi Mishem Rabbi Yudha Barpazi, HaYavish Pasul, Hashem, Lo Amesim Yaluka. Yavish Pasul, why? Lo Amesim Yaluka. Dead people tell no praise. Don't praise Rav Shalom, right? The dead don't praise Rav. This is both, I think, due to the fact that they're not no longer allowed to sing praises, but also they don't really bespeak being dead. You don't really bespeak the grandeur of the Rav Shalom. The grandeur of the Rav Shalom, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Sodei Torah, "Humanti kol nimsa," just by virtue of the existence of something, that's a testament to the Rav Shalom's power. It's grounded in Rav Shalom's existence. They think that somebody's dead, so they sort of don't testify in a sense. They're sustained by the Rav Shalom. It's not that in exhibit. So this is what the Yerushalmi says, Lo Amesim Yaluka, that's the basis of the soul. Now, the standard reading of this is, I believe, what the Ritva says. And he quotes it. Ritva quotes, this is not an alternative to what the Bali is talking about. This is, as Ritva says, and he makes a point of this, that this is Derech Yerushalmi, he says the Ritva, to give kind of pithy formulations in Sukkim to capture things which have halakhically less poetic bases. But this is what he says, Masha'amr b'yishami, lo amesim aluka, lashim tzachosu. This is a pithy way of saying it. And he gives another example, etc. He says, Orcha de Tamud de b'nei Marav, b'achi de meitam kein sniff eitam min minakas al-din in Shaltar. So they're not, it's like an additional sniff. It's like not the, really the essence, and it's not really a legal suggestion. It's more of a kind of a pithy way of, you know, clever way of capturing the notion, but not really a serious legal position. That's basically what the Ritva says. So this is another one. The Ravid didn't take it that way. The Ravid says, now I found, right, and this is the answer to his question. He thought this was the answer to the question. Says the Ravid that my instinct about the Mishnah, that it must be listing psulim of the same kind, the ones that are psulim Kol Zayin, that is correct. And the answer to the question, but what do you mean? Hadar is only a psul Yom Rishon. So he says as follows: the common na'ev einai atam shakrishu b'yushami al yavish shu pasul Hashem lo amesim aluka. I found what I was looking for: yushami lo amesim aluka. But tam hazeh nofal kol shiva sayami. This is something which is true. All right, that's the basis for the psul, and that's something which pasuls kol zayin. All right, dumi de gazol v'asher v'yanidachas. So now he's got to do two things. One, why? What is the nature of that soul that you're understanding Shami to be suggesting? And then also the textual point, which is how does that square with the fact that the Bavli doesn't say that? The Bavli said it's Hadar. So here I take as persuasive the Ramban's objection to the Ravid, the textual objection, that it doesn't really sit well with the Bavli. It doesn't really align with the Bavli. Basically, the Ramban says, you know, you can maybe suggest it. We'll see what he says in a second. You can maybe kind of read away that line in the Gemara, the one line where it says, Hadar bi Amalekah. But he can do the whole sugya later on when it's explicit that it's based on a Hekesh, etc., etc. So basically, Ravid, this is what this is the accusation leveled against him by the Ramban. You're choosing the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. You're interpreting the Yerushalmi as giving an independent reason, a presumably din d'oraisa, and you're accepting it even though it is contradicted by the Bavli.
I noticed that the Hemshech of the Yerushalmi there's like another like two lines where it says, well, what about the tzitzin of the lulav, and why is that different than Yavesh? And so it's the answer. The Gemara answer is that one's hadar and one's not. One is still considered hadar and one's not.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think the Karbonaide, you know, explains then that the that lamesim yaluka is essentially a manifestation of hadar. Or he's not a
right.
care of the
but
I
think that's
the Ramban or the Rebbe.
That's something along
the
lines of the Ritva, right? Which is basically
right.
saying like it's a nice way to capture the idea that it's ugly looking.
Right, but I'm saying how come neither the Ramban nor the Ravid, because you can essentially use that either way to argue either side of the theoretical.
I'm not sure what you mean. It's not obvious to me that you would say that you're saying it's obvious that the initial pesul is also hadar. You're saying it's obvious that it wasn't hadar.
Well, if you understand that what the Ravid means is that there's this pesul of lo meisim yaluka because it's not there.
Yeah.
And hadar is merely a reflection of that.
But he doesn't really say that, right? He says,
a reflection. Sorry, it's a description of what happens. Meaning, it's not there anymore.
Yeah, it's not based on hadar v'kra. It's more just a description. When it says hadar being malek, it's not based on a drasha of the hadar in the pasuk, which is what the Ravid ends up saying. It's more. First he says Larafa the Mil, so it's an extra thing. And then he says also this is a good description of Lo Mesim Yaluka. Once, you know, it's Hadro is its chius, is its life, so once it's gone, right? That's really, but the Ramban points out, but that's fine. You can make that argument in the Gemara in Sukkah and the Chavtesim Beis, that the Hadr B'Yam Leka is not a quote of the word Hadr from the Pasuk. It just means we need to be pretty, or in the Ravid's reinterpretation, it's got to be live. But what do you mean about the Sugya Shlema later on?
Right. So from the fact that the Hemshech of the Yerushalmi that it invokes the concept of Hadar even there, isn't that a raya then that they really are linked in the Yerushalmi thought?
I can say the opposite. It's not a raya. I mean, in the Mishnah you have three different psalm right there in the first five words. Just because it's next to it doesn't mean that it's. In fact, you can make the argument that it's the opposite. If that was the reason for the prior one too, so why didn't you just say what it says about the other cases? I'm saying, I don't think it's dispositive either way. But the point is, the Ramban says, so it doesn't work textually. And the Meiri here, in his Magen Avos, he provides explanations. You know, he almost has, a who me type defense of the Rabbi. You're saying he's granting the Rishami, probably? He addresses that. Yeah, he addresses it. The Ramban says it's obviously not compelling. He has a lip service to the notion that the Babli's got to be controlling, but. Says the Ramban, well, what he's suggesting really isn't able to be squared with the Bavli. Well, the Meiri has an answer to that, which is, the sigil later on actually is being rejected. I mean, the more serious problem, which is that the explicit citation of the pasuk and the hekesh and all that, says the Meiri, that's all rejected l'halacha, which is a novel reading of the Meiri. I don't believe anybody else thinks that, but he thinks in the end, when the Gemara kind of divorces from the discussion where it brought that up, it actually is leaving the set aside, so that's not binding anyway. Okay. What I'm interested in is the next one, which is what kind of soul is this? So here the Ravid says something which is quite cryptic. He goes on to explain, after noting how you can sort of square with the Bavli, that's again still squaring the language in the Gemaras. But here it gets to the core of the issue, which is just explaining this. He's trying to explain to you why this is a psul, which does answer his problem, namely, how can you have an admission if it isn't kol zayin? So the answer is it is kol zayin, because it's on the basis of it being lo hamesim yahalukva. And that is a psul, he says, that is essentially similar to asher nidachas, it's kemisha en adome. Because it's mesis kemisha en adome, like yer nidachas and like asher, mechas el shiure, and therefore it's possible kol zayin. And he has this wonderful, v'chein dat tinon peh. That's what he's inclined to think. I mean, it's not just a question of whether or not you can put forward the suggestion. How much do you really think this is true? He thinks, leading us humanistically. I love that, right? Like he's aware that, you know, he's smart enough to be able to figure out, you know, the terror. The question is that a good terror? And it's not a question of just whether or not it works. The question is, do you think it's true? And can you really put it forward on in good conscience? And he says, you know what? I can't. You can't be my scheme, Mr. Klee. Where are we here? The kula sugid shmaisa nami misayla, etc. Then he says, nami nish mechacham, yosef lekaf, v'navu v'nachulos, v'navu v'nachulos ikne, l'chavim mashal mitza, divre chachamim v'chidosam. They wrap this up. They made it hard to see, but the Rosh Hashanah was koni lam das, help me unwrap the riddle. Okay. So the Rida here has that suggestion. Now the question that the Ramban and Ritva basically love on is a pretty serious one, which is, what is this principle? Manifestation. Where do you find that something is kemes means that it's kemisha eno? What's the mocker for that? Nesashir, we have a soul. We have it's left the paper trail. Nowhere does it ever say that something which is kemes is kemisha eno. And, says Ramban, we can prove that it isn't true. Because in other cases where you have there's a din of tusei nesashir, like shir le'in and tuma, something being the kabbal tuma, we find that while ksusei mesoshure is not makabal tumo, but something simply being kemes is still makabal tumo, right? Says the Ramban al Tar, says Masha Rav Mitzayir Tam the kelim to kemes kemes in dami ksusei mesoshure. He says heifan matza Rav zed in shenemar al davar hamesh kemes in boshir. First of all, where is that from? Where do you see that? What is that principle? And he says, well, we can also have counter evidence for it. It's not just the absence of evidence. Counter evidence. Well, leading to makul in dami boshir. Which only the Sreifa, this is where the Ramban and the Ritva both seem to connect the Sula of Ksusei Mesashire with the notion of Ksusei Mesashire with Koma Amid, the Sreifa Kisar of Dham. I think I mentioned to you someone earlier that is a question. Here's where the Ritva and the Ramban seem to link the two. So Amid the Sreifa in a Metamin, the Koma Amid the Sreifa Kisar of Dham, you can mean Hazam Pekmanachos. And that's what you have to share with Nidakas. The Ritva gives another. Points out another place where this is evident that it's not so. He says, so it's Kumeis, where do you see it's Kumandalas? So he adds not only the point that the Ramban had about it being Mekabal Tamet Tuma Vishulun, but also Osim Mendel from the Sukkah. Well, you can use it for the final Sukkah, which is not true, right? It requires Shir, it isn't true of things which are Kusei Master Shir. So A, what is this principle? Where is it getting from? B, it's not correct. You can see it isn't correct. So the Miri addresses this too. He basically says it just means lenient debt. What I want to do is really flesh that out. How do you understand this rhyme here? But I'm going to leave that, flesh it out by leaving it aside for now. That's going to be the, we're going to come back to. But I think this is a good opportunity to explore what I think to be some fundamental theme. Sukkot and also Dalminim, and then we'll come back to the Ravid within that context. What's striking is the theme of Simcha in its relation to Chag HaSukkos, both on the level of the Sukkim and also the Halacha. The notion that some unique bond between Simcha and specifically Chag HaSukkos is something very notable when you read Sukkim. Sukkim, you may notice, where does the Pasuk, how many times the Pasuk command Simcha on Chag?
Three.
When I say Chag, I mean on Yom Tov.
Oh, not on Sukkot.
On Yom Tov. They counted it in six.
Three times?
I think that's what Mishnah just said, no? No, four times. What? There's three with regard to Sukkis, and one regarding Shavuos, right? Three regarding Chag means three regarding Sukkis. Chag is, right? So it's four times the Sukkim. Does the Torah command us to have Simcha on Chag, on Yom Tov, right? Interestingly, once regarding Shavuos, zero times regarding Pesach, and three times regarding Sukkos. Three times the Torah says the Samachta in connection with Sukkos. So that's a striking correspondence. Certainly not what you would expect. especially given the halachic assumption, which everybody assumes. I've never seen if there's a shifter that says otherwise. I'd love to see it. That the mitzvah of simcha is equally applicable on Pesach. That is a question that some rishonim address. Where do we get that from? How do we know that? And there are different opinions. The Gaon has one opinion. I believe the Urayim addresses it as well. They sort of note the lacuna here. They say, well, where do we end up getting that from? Because the Gemara doesn't ever say anything about it. Either it's Tesfav Tesfav, or perhaps Chag, when it's Tzimatot HaGefa, is not being used in the narrow sense of this Chag. It means Chag.
Yeah.
One or the other, it's notable that it does not appear at all in regard to Pesach. It does have a mention regarding Shavuos, but then all of a sudden, when it comes to Sukkot, three times. And Chazal did not think this was coincidence. Sigdud of Kahana, they notice Tzimatot HaGefa, Matzah Shlosim Achas Kasub Chag. Pesach, not even a single one, and then you find in Shavuos that there is one, but only one. And why? So they explain that what's the reasoning? Because what it has to do with, so here they gave a reason, an additional reason, which makes a lot of sense, but the main theme that they explore is something which is rooted clearly in the Psukim. And that is that this is something true of the Chagim in general. They have an element of Zechel Tzias Yisrael, all of them, historical events that it's commemorating, but also they take place in the context of a person's, you know, current life, and in particular his livelihood. The agricultural seasons are a prominent theme in the Chagim. In this context, so the way the cycle, the way it worked was, following Sukkot, you sow the seeds, you plant, and then it grows over the course of the year, and you begin to harvest. So there's two cycles. There's the spring cycle and the winter cycle. The spring cycle essentially takes place between Pesach and Shavuos, right? And that's when rove of the fruits are harvested, not all of them, but almost all of them. And then between
Shavuos and Sukkot is the dry.
Shavuos and Sukkot, it's the grains. So by Sukkot, you have everything in. So here's where the Sukkot Rakana explains. This is the reasoning of the Simcha, because in Pesach, the Simcha is somewhat attenuated in terms of the person's, you know, where you find themselves at the time of Pesach. It says, at the time of Pesach, I was such a Pesach at Tvua Nidonis. Pesach is the din, is the Yom HaDin for Tvua. I think I messed it up, by the way. I think I said Peros come between Pesach and Shavuos. It's the opposite. Tvua comes between Pesach and Shavuos. Peros come after. And he says, what?
It makes more sense. Well, Mark,
yeah, exactly. Right. I think I thought I said it before. Right. Ella amotzah Pesach atvua nidonis heinam yidei maaseh shana yomein olasad l'picha vein save shana simcha. It's a time of anxiety because you have yet to reap anything of what you've sown. V'chein amotzah she'ein kas b'tzer tzal simcha achas. Why? So why is there simcha achas? Well, because v'nesha atvua nechnas b'tzim, because you've already harvested the tzvua, so you have a successful harvest of your wheat, of your grains, most of which have been harvested at that point, right? But why isn't it any more than that? Why isn't there an additional simcha? Because you cannot say, you've yet to reap all that you've sown. You have a significant crop that's left, namely fruits, and it's still, therefore, a time somewhat of, it's somewhat mixed. You have somewhat of a satisfaction and somewhat settled, but also a sense that still much hangs in the balance. We're very far removed from this, although I think ultimately I'll come back to this. It's something which should speak to us too, just in our context. But this is something which you didn't need much explanation for most people when we were, you know, the Torah was initially speaking to them in Eretz Yisrael, and they were farmers, they were led to agricultural lives. This is something that didn't need to be explained, but to us it does, and therefore I'll do. That at that point, payrolls have yet to be reaped. Aval b'chag, you have three elements to it, actually. One, it follows on the heels of Yom Kippur. You've been made spiritually whole. You've righted your relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's number one. Then, additionally, all that you've sown, you reap. Everything, all your efforts, all your tefillos have borne fruit. Yeah, literally. And your moment of arrival, moment of satisfaction. That's essentially what Sukkot is. It's a moment of arrival. It's arrival spiritually, right? You've arrived at a state of Tara, and it's arrival economically and monetarily in terms of a person's livelihood. Right? The Tassino to the Gashmis and the Ruchmias, all together. Right? So this is the idea of Chag. And this is something which is essentially explicit in the Pesukim. First of all, just the idea that Chag HaSukkos is the time when everything now has been collected, that's the very name of Sukkos in the Torah, the kinui that the Torah gives to it, there's that fact, right? What is it? What do we call it? Chag HaKatzir Bikurim HaSachah, that's Shavuos. Chag HaAsif, it's Eis HaShana. Why was that Chag HaAsif? Because then, V'asbecha Es HaSachah Min HaSadeh, that's the entirety of it. And that this is connected in some kind, I believe also is essentially explicit in the Pasuk. Because look, people are surprised that someone's here, but Samata Bechagecha, the next words in the Torah, are not. V'hayisach Sameach, like the song that we just heard today. There's actually a whole Pasuk in between. Those are two of the Samachos, right, of the Pasuk. There's Samata Bechagecha, there's V'hayisach Sameach, and then there's a Samata Bechagecha. These are the three Samachos written with respect to Chag, with respect to Sukkos. So the two of them are bounded by, right, the first two are explained. The Torah says Chag HaSukkos Aselecha Shivas Yamim. So look what it says. V'Aslecha Migrancha, which was something that you achieved largely also by Shavuos, but now in addition also Migvecha. Right. So it's V'Aslecha Migrancha Migvecha. Now everything you've collected. V'Samata B'Chagecha Atav V'Nigvecha, etc. etc. And in the end, Shivas Yamim Tefalu Yisrael Mekecha V'Makom Yisrael Mekecha Kivarecha Yisrael Mekecha B'Chol Tvuascha. The simcha is rooted in, right, the extra simcha is now it's the moment of arrival. Now you can breathe, now you have a sense of satisfaction. You've seen the efforts, you're davening, everything has been reaped, everything has been collected. That's the reason why why the psukim speak of simcha in the context of Sukkos at length, whereas in the other two combined, it's just one. And this is something which the Chinuch stresses as well, right? That But this is not just something which finds expression on the level of the Pesukim, which is important in this Omer, obviously. It also is something which resonates in Halacha. The special significance of Simcha, particularly on Chag HaSukkos. And this in a couple of ways. The Rambam, on the one hand, has a chiddush. One expression of this literary fact that Simcha is written many times specifically regarding Sukkos, the Rambam thinks this is the explanation for its basis of. I guess the Makaros? Simcha's basis of Shoeva. Right? Simcha's basis of Shoeva, says the Rambam. This is somewhat of a departure from what normally we think, which is that it has to do entirely with Nisuch HaMayim. The whole Shoeva Sinai happens to take place around this time. But this is not really it's something that's somewhat incidental to Sukkot. Happens to be you have Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, but the Simcha is a Shavti Mayim Nisasam, Mayim Yeshua, so that's something which is, you're just happy about the Nisuch HaMayim. I think the Rambam would say, why specifically Nisuch HaMayim? Where does that come from? Is the Simcha such a Simcha in Nisuch HaMayim? The Rambam did not think it was related specifically to Nisuch HaMayim. This is something which is essentially a manifestation of Simcha's Sukkot. The Rambam here suggests that I don't know what his makor was. That this is a kiyum of the Sfatim of the Hashem Kechem Shivas Yamim. Right, the Rambam says, "Avu Bishpal Matos Mitzvos Machpehen." There is a mitzvah simcha in all of them. Chag HaSukkos Ha'isar Sham Be'Minta Shemcha Yisera. Based on the pasuk, the Sfatim of the Hashem Kechem Shivas Yamim, and then he quotes all the Gemaras about Simchas Beis Hashoeva. Right, whereas Rashi, and in general, I think that's the impression you get when you look at the Sukkot, that this is about the simcha of Nisuch HaMayim. Whatever reason, this is an extremely celebratory moment. It is for the Rambam. It's not about Nisuch HaMayim. It's about Sukkot and the expression of the Simcha of Smachlin Deshem Elgeshem Shivas Yamin. That was number one. But the primary manifestation of this notion of, this special notion of Simcha, is in one of the mitzvahs Hayom of Simcha, and that is the Daladim. Mitzvahs Lukat Melchem Yom Rishon, the mitzvah of Netilas Daladim. This is clearly already evident that there's some relationship here between Dalad Minim and Simcha, is evident just in the Pasuk itself. What does the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, it doesn't just say V'samachal Bechagecha. It says, V'kapil Lachem B'yom Rishon Priya Tzadar Kavas Marim V'kulei V'kulei V'samachal Lechem Lechem Shavaz Yam. So first of all, just the juxtaposition itself is striking. You know, one could have thought, okay, so there's two different things here. There's the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, and there's another expression of the mitzvah of Simcha. But Lo Karav Zel Zed, there's no actual relation between them. But the falsity of that is laid bare, the way we assume, we paskin, based in the Mishnah, that what do we get? What does this mean? What does that mean? What are we required to do here? So it happens to be that there is an assumption in the Psikas of Trasa, but the Medrash Lashon Tov here, that it just simply means Shami Simcha, like it does normally. Never kan Simcha, never halan Simcha, malahalan Shalom, afkan Shalom.
Carbonated says it's linked to in Simcha, all of us again.
Right, so that itself is something which Yoram Sachem speaks of in the context of Simcha Ziyamta, right? Exactly. However, the Yashami quotes my focus about this topic. The Yashami says that does acknowledge there is an opinion that holds that way, that it says it's not in the relationship. I mean, that's just referring to the repeating of the general commandment of mitzvah simcha v'yantif, but that's not how we assume. What do we assume smachim v'shem kechem shivas yamin means? Says the Yishami, ksivu smachim v'shem kechem shivas yamin. Is tanya tani, I'll just skip to the second part, b'sukha shabim makasim medaver? But there's, what's the controlling opinion is tanya tani b'sukha lulav makasim medaver. Now what is it saying? It's saying, take your lulav misameach, take your lulav with you, to be sameach with Nekosh Baruch Hu. This is the makor for the mitzvah of Mikdash Kol Zayin. Ulkatim lachem yom rishon pri etzadar v'chul v'chulei v'smachtim l'shem k'chem shivis yamim v'smachtim v'tvameh v'lulov. So the mitzvah's dalad minim is bound up with simcha. That's the makor. The way the Torah commands us to take our lulov and esrog in Mikdash at the very least is by saying v'smachtim l'shem k'chem shivis yamim. And it's, in my opinion, clear from the Rambam at the very least that this is not limited to the mitzvah of v'vul of Mikdash specifically, then the mitzvah mitzvahs lulav b'mikdash kol zayin. Even that would be quite significant. Dal minim b'mikdash at the very least, even if it's just that. But for the Rambam, it's not just that. That's something which is true. The linkage between these two things is something which is evident on the level of on the mitzvah of lulav too. In fact, this relates to a larger question, which is the relation between the two things. Rambam thinks it's only one mitzvah. And what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah hakuf samach tes he. It's Ivan Litov Lulav Lusmachba of Nashim Okay. Lusmachba. The mitzvah is Litov Lusmachba, then we get to the details in Vulin in 20 days, in Mikdash Lufnei Hashem, that's 7 days. But the mitzvah is not Litov, it's Litov Lusmachba. It's an instrument, it's a tool of Simcha. And this, I think, perhaps most clearly finds expression. And particularly, I'm talking about not just the mitzvah lulav of the mikdash kol zayin, but the mitzvah of every mitzvah of lulav, meaning the mitzvah deraisa b'gulam kol makom. It finds expression in the relationship between halal and dalbin. The backdrop to this is the relationship between simcha and halal. Al pi halacha, there's a clear connection, clear bond between the notion of simcha and halal. And this you find, I think, just the two clear manifestations of this. One is the Rambam, right? The Rambam Hilchos Chanukah, you're familiar with. He explains why, what we just experienced, why is there no mitzvah halal on Rosh Hashanah, or Yom Kippur? Says the Rambam, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Eimah and Halal, why the fish hang yimei tshuva v'yir u'pachat, okay, lo yimei simcha yisera. Halal is not appropriate on a day in which there's not really a controlling theme of simcha. Halal is rooted in the mitzvah simcha, it's bound up with the mitzvah simcha. Just in what way, I'll get to in a second. The Ramban as well, actually, and he has several, the Ramban in his Sagas there has several stages concerning the level of mitzvah kriyas halal, which the Bahag counted and the Rambam castigated him for it. Why does the Bahag count halal, says the Rambam, is clearly mitzvah derabanan. So the Ramban says, what's obvious to the Rambam is not so obvious to me. What is the mitzvah deraisa of halal? So the Ramban has different suggestions about that, but at one point he thinks maybe they're all the yamim tovim, minatar at the very least, have a mitzvah deraisa of halal. Where is that in the pasuk? He says, "Ubayom simchasem u'moadechem u'reshichachem kadim chatzrosot aloseichem azekheishem aleichem." When it says that, that's a signal of shira, and the ikar shira, this is the kli, is just to you know complement the voice. The ikar shira that is being expressed. V'yom sukhaschem, that's shir of peh. That's right. V'yom simcha, he says, in kin esher shenizh v'yom tov shakas of simcha v'nisra v'kol minei samachos shetei ha-shir mikhalam. Halal is an expression of simcha. Here, in terms of the connection, I do believe this proves it, and this manner is a clear illustration of it. I think the connection between halal and simcha is a topic in its own right. I'll just know now that I think there's at least two ways to formulate the relationship. They're not mutually exclusive. One is to understand that halal is the halakhic reaction to simcha. Meaning you have simcha, so the halakha demands what the simcha triggers is a response to halal. You're sameach, so then you have to be mahalak and baruch hu in response to that simcha, to thank him over the joy that you're experiencing. I think there's an additional element to it, which the Ramban, I do believe, expresses, and that is, it's not that it is simply a reaction to, but actually, it's a part of. It's the expression of, it's an appropriate expression of simcha. It's an element of simcha. The ultimate form of simcha is to rejoice with one's creator, with the Rabbanu Shalom, who is responsible for that simcha. That is the fullest expression of simcha. You want to be sameach for the people that matter. And when that person that matters the most is also the person responsible for the simcha, that's an expression of simcha that you don't have absent it. And that's the notion of halal as being the ultimate expression of simcha, not simply a response to it. And that's what I think you find in the Ravid when he says, Shira is an expression of great joy. It's an articulation of great joy. And that is the view of halal as related to it is simply an expression of it. So both of those, I think, are accurate or correct. So that's just by way of background, the connection between halal and simcha. And here is where I think you find the clearest manifestation of the overall notion of simcha and Dalai Minyan, specifically in the context of halal. Right? Because this halal, which is rooted in simcha, is something which we find has a manifest connection to Dalai Minyan. The first hint to that, is also when it discusses the shir of the simcha in the first Mishnah. Shir is Gimel Tfachim Kedilana Neim. Alright, we'll come back to that. But the Gemara then, the Mishnah rather, later on, takes up the Nanum question and says, where do we do these Nanum? And where do we do it? When are we Minanea? Behalav. Right? This is what the Mishnah says. Behodu Hashem Hechem Hayu Minan, Behodu Hashem Kedilah Besof, Gan Hashem Hashiana, etc., etc. Right? This is what we do. We are Minanea Behalav. Tosos points us to what they believe is the makor for this idea, or a nice expression of this idea, which is Vayikra Rabba, the Medrash of Vayikra Rabba connects it to the pasuk Azir Ranim Kolasei Hayar, the joy, the expression, the praise, the Rina Ba'atseyar. This is what we do with the Lulav and Esrog. It's a reading of that Mizmor Tehillim. Lama Kivah Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Malasos Shvatasar Shpudei Vatzevim Minasov. After the Mishpat, the Kamei Elok Malin Lasos on the note in Esrog Hadas Lulav. The Arava Mikalsin with Nakar Fakum praise their Barshal. Lukatu Kamiyam Risha. That's what Lukatu Kamiyam Risha. So the Tosafot says this is what you find is the underpinning, right? That Ma'anu Alim Lasos of these things, we know the Nesor Gadas of Arava Mikalsin with Nakar Fakum. Hence you find Azra Noyar, that's when you are Minanea. Now one could have said, you know what, this is nice, but it's an incidental thing. Right? It's not really expressing a deep bond philosophically between the two. It happens to be. It's a good time to do the not new and you have to do. Do it during halal. It's some sort of nice mixture of the two is something which, you know, is beneficial or is you know, appropriate, but not really reflecting deeply upon the mitzvah of Dalamin. We find, however, that this is clearly not so, at least according to many. First of all, the tour, and this is reflecting a long tradition, Tour and describing what is the mitzvah, when is the mitzvah of Nefilas Luluv to take place. So it's Kasher Kalayom. But is there a particular preference, says the Tour? Yes. The Ikar Mitzvah, so Shasa Halal. That is the Ikar Mitzvah, the pristine time in defining here, he's just simply defining, it's a Mitzvah Nun phase, I apologize about that. When is the Ikar Mitzvah, when is the primary time to fulfill Mitzvah Luluv? So he suggests, the Torah suggests, that specifically, Ikar's Mano is Bishas Halal. And basically, it's a real b'dieved. If you can't wait until then, it's Arthur like, but Derech, and Yafel Hamdi Nolo Miyakel Jelet. What normally we would think is, Christ is using the mitzvahs. It isn't true here, in the sense that the best time for it, really the Ikar time for it, is Bishas Halal. So we're defining now the Ikar's Man of Mitzvah Zulav via the Zman Halal. And you find an even more striking expression of this in the Rashbam, cited in Hagos Ammonius. The Rishonim were bothered by, those were bothered by, actually all the Rishonim were really bothered by this, by the seeming contradiction, the seeming problem that we have concerning the Bracha. On the one hand, we have a general klal which they derive from Gemara Menachos, that you need to have the chetza shel mitzvah mizumenas v'yado when you make the bracha. They got this from the Gemara Menachos regarding tefillin. You should be holding on to the chetza shel mitzvah. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, we also have a principle of overlas yasam b'brachas mitzvah. You should do it prior to actually doing the mitzvah. You should recite the bracha prior to doing the mitzvah. The problem emerges when we find out that mida'abe nafakeh. All right, how is it that you are able to reconcile these two things if, in fact, when you're holding on to it, you're already doing the mitzvah? So this is an issue that Rishon and Balabai, you may be familiar with the recommendations. They have about four answers in Sintosos. You may be familiar with the one that is adopted in Shulchan Aruch. He actually mentions a couple. The one that everybody's familiar with is you turn over the esrog. The assumption that is menakev the kiyum of Mrs. Dalaminim, and it's a kiyum of Mrs. Dalaminim which is sufficient. Not everybody agrees that works. By the way, it's just a derechaga point, which certainly does work according to the whole sheet, if you put both of them, not only the low of an esrog, but also the, because, whatever, I don't want to get separate here in its own right, you seem to be able to be yoti mitzvah hulav, at least the min of the hulav, you don't need to pick up again. So you're doing a mice and mitzvah with regard to the hulav, which you have not turned over, and then maybe already a problem of a little assessing according to some. The solution to that would just be to flip over both. I've never seen anybody do it. So I'm not recommending it. The Bach actually does. It's a Tashmish Katan. The Tashmish Katan, the Talmud of the Marmor, actually suggests this. Totally not our path. Other answers have Kovana, have negative Kovana, have Kovana Shalol, Latzeis Mina Mitzvah, on the assumption, which everybody agrees to except for maybe Ermin Teretz, and maybe the Beis Yosef famous for quoting her off, that Kovana, even if you hold Mitzvahs, Inu Tzichos Kovana, but Kovana Shalol, Latzeis, is Ma'akev. You can't be Yosef Al Korchava. So most of them agree to this, and that would be the solution then, simply have in mind, not to be Yotze, or Shulchan Aruch quotes that one as well. The Rashbam's answer to this was none of that's necessary. Why? Says the Rashbam, in Hagos and Manios, the Rashbam says there's no problem here. She'en levarach kodem she'yedlen, the mefsi kach ki kucha blu, don't do that. Eli, lenav v'hadri yivarach, v'havi shaper olah sesam, why? Ki even she'ikam mitzvotsu hu hananu v'shas ha'halo. Whoa, can you use the parables a little bit? The Ikar mitzvah, such that you're considered to be still over las yasam legavi your mitzvah, b'nitzil zulav, is the na'anu of b'shas ha'al. So this is not an incidental, sort of a nice idea, do the things together, chavilos chavilos, kind of a positive. No, this is the Ikar mitzvah of nitzil zulav. The yotzei, if you're not nafik, but that's not the ideal performance of the mitzvah, the ideal performance of the mitzvah is the nanu of b'shas ha'al. Very much manifesting the idea that the halal of lulav is part and parcel of the mitzvah netilas lulav. And I think that this also finds expression in the notion that we find basically you need that one of the defining features of a lulav that you can use, the chetza shel lulav, is defined as is required to be a chetza shel ro'oi l'halal. And here I think you find two expressions, one in the Mishnah, one in the Rishon. I'm just mentioning there are more. One in the Mishnah is, now we go back to the shear point. What was the shear, the ikar shear of lulav? It's gibbuklachim de'la nanev. Now, what, by the way, just as a side point, nanu are clearly not ma'akev. The Gemara even called it shayar mitzvah. But the point is that it needs to, and this is for the Rashi, perfect, because the ikar mitzvah though is to do it this way. So that defines the shear of a lulav. If you have a lulav that you can't use to be mehalavo, so then that's not a good lulav. That defines the basic quality of the chayfet that is usable for dalamin. Right? Kedei l'nanevo is the shear for a good lulav. And this finds expression also in the Rashi Shatz in the context of mitzvah b'mevev. The Rishonim are bothered by the question. It's actually, I don't know we'll get this. It's a long day. It's a bit of a stretch for us to be able to get there, but it is in our parrot, actually. The Rishonim are bothered by the question. Basically, the Gemara cites in context of explaining why you wouldn't be Yotze Mitzvahs Matzah with Tevel. It darshens something. It darshens that you need to be Yotze with a Mitzvah Matzah that only would have an Yitzchak Hametz, and this wouldn't have an Yitzchak Hametz because it's Tevel. And therefore, it's Zafka Lefir Rishimon, that even Mr. Chalas, I feel the Kol Mosif, right? The topics we just discussed there. So the Rishon Rabbah would have to be Mitzvah Bava there. Why doesn't the Gemara say that? So different answers to this. It's also Sin Tukva. Even at Zarfian, but others answer that maybe it's only a Dinder Isa, a Dinder Bun rather. The Sol is not a Sol Derisa, and therefore it's not going to be the thing cited if we're talking about a Sol Derisa. Others give other answers, and the Tosos are cited in, by the Ritva, because others cite it as saying that that Mitzvah Bavera is not a posel for mitzvahs in general, that there's a significant limitation. It doesn't posel in all mitzvahs. It posels specific in specific class of mitzvahs. Now that class for the Ritva is mitzvahs that are Mishum Ritzvah, that are all about, whose central theme and actual objective requirement is that it's meratze, it gains favor, you know, it's pleasing to the Ribono Shel Olam. The classic mitzvah of this variety is korban, right? The nitzalot hafer olam. But they add lulav as well. In the actual Tosafot Rav Shatz himself, there's actually a different theme which is cited. It's not so much ritzoi, actually. Ritzoi is maybe one expression of a broader point, namely that it's supposed to be something that you're doing different after the parashah. Right? It's not just simply a maaseh mitzvah, but one whose central norm is really beyond. And this is what the Tosafot Rashi says: V'yishom etshani bulos from mahalimbo mishapten the makom v'chein korban v'kviyot. So this isn't really stress the ritual. Right? The hasukah namishak with the exulah b'chulei b'chulei about lo mishum nahavet mitzvayer. Meaning mitzvahs above there is something which is limited to mitzvos shehein mishum. This idea of rejoicing with the Ribono Shel Olam. If it's a maaseh mitzvah, so fine. But if the mitzvah is not a maaseh mitzvah simply, it's a tool to do that, to be mahalo, mishabeh, ani Hashem tzonei gezel v'olah. You think your korban is something that I take pride in? I can rejoice with you over your korban? That's something that I won't accept. So in that context, where you have, so this is a psalmist of Orotei, but if we get there, we'll flesh this out more. The chiddush here is, of course, that you're saying that this is true for lulav, and that's the point. This is true for lulav. Right, the lulav is a chetzah shem mehalim bo meshapim bo lefnei hamakom. That's a legal requirement, and therefore, if I can't do it, why? Because ani Hashem tzonei gezel be'olah. So then, you're not going to be able to use it. It's simply not kosher. You're not Torah for mitzvah lulav. That's another expression of the idea. It finds its way into the particular shita of the Rash that mitzvah be'olah is circumscribed as it only applies to mitzvah shem meshapim mehalim, and the point is lulav is that.
The Gemara
saying
you shake the lulav because of like the
favorite
of like the.
There's a line like that, yeah. Yeah, so that's what I consider to be like a sniffe thing. Which, so I think one could suggest very simply, just in terms of understanding, what is the role here of these dalim, and then it makes a lot of sense to now link the notion which we started with in this section of this year, which is the idea that what is the simcha of sukkahs really rooted in? That's called the garfah miyikvah. That somehow the fact that we're being commanded to be sameach, to be mahalal, but these minim is a reflection of the tvua and the peros that we're now in the position to reflect upon and to think the Baruch Shalom over. And this is something which Yehovah Nell says explicitly, right? It's very interesting. That whole section is very interesting. And that theme is essentially explicit. Then he says, somehow the Dalet Minim represent are related to the Asipas Atfuos. What he doesn't explain, when I want to raise the question, is in what way? How? They just happen to be some of them. These dalamin, in what way are these dalaminim the appropriate way to express one's akara, ha'al da, and halal, the runchal over this? Why is this an appropriate instrument for the simcha? So it's a question that the Sefer Chinuch addresses, and he suggests one thing. He says, and you notice that, and you see this? He basically connects this theme as well. The lakiyat of dalaminim is a mitzvah of simcha and halal with respect to the asif, the fact that it is a chag asif now, so you bring with you that asif, but why these things? So his suggestion is, this is the larger piece where he says there, right? He says, Shemei chag asif v'idol, the chag asif, but tziva kel, lamo, la sosa fanav, chag osa, eis, lus chosam, lus achosam, is important, I get what you're going to do. Dios ikar simcha lishmo, right? This is, when I say that halal is the expression of simcha, I think part of it, I meant to add this in, which is that it's the Torah's molding our simcha. it's the recognition of what sports life should be about and whom we should be some of. Right? The natural sympathy that one would feel should be centering, as a Jew's entire life should be, around a marshal. So this is what he's saying here, that this is a switch for us to be able to do so. And the Torah is being Zako. So I know the Yosikar Simcha Lishmo. Okay, good. But why these? It's a very charming point and nice idea that these are naturally very, pretty. They're the things that kind of you see them, and you think, oh, brings a smile to one's face to see these meanings. That's why they were chosen, because of that. I think, however, we can offer an alternative suggestion that I think has a lot to say for it. Chazal actually speak about what is unique about these meaning, not in the context of Simcha and Hallel, but actually in another theme, and that's a discussion for another time, the conjunction of these two themes, of both Simcha and Ritzui. I'll just note now, I think in a large part of that idea that they represent both Simcha and Ritzui, I think that they're intimately bound up, and this is akin to the Mishnah says that when you are holy from Makom to Makom, you're Modal Avar, Mispal Asi. You're in a moment of transition, not in space or time, so it's time to take stock, look back, thank the Rosh Hashanah for what it has been, but it's also time now that we're moving forward, and we need also that bracha again. The Simcha and the Ritzui element are twins in the sense that they're retrospective and prospective, respectively. And they have to do with this as the moment of a transition in time. But in that context, the Gemara itself actually mentions the uniqueness of these Talmidim. The Gemara is in the context of discussing the Ritzui element, Al Amani. Right? That's what we pray for, that's what we see, Mas Baruach. This is when we need the water. Why do we need the water now? Because now we're going to start to plant again. So now we need our subsequent year to be one which will bear crops too. So this is when we're very much dependent and we're very much looking to the Bunchon to provide us mayim. So the question was, when do you start saying Mashiach Ruach? Name is Simon Skir and Ruach Keshavim. So there's a machlokas. One day it says at the end of the Chag. The other day it says at the beginning of the Chag. Why the beginning of the Chag? So the Gemara explains in Tainus. Right? Mishas. Natilos the not Mishas and Nachaso, which is how we call it. Mishas Natilo. What's the reasoning? I'm a Rabbi Lazar. Hol of Arbas Min and Halalu, in and by El Ratzal Amayim. They are there as instruments of Ritzui, if they are Makom, to find the Baruch Hu's favor. And how? In what way are they? Shem Shehaber Min and Halalu, Yeshar Behem Belomayim, Kach Yeshar Lalom Belomayim. These are instruments, are elements of Ritzui, if they are Makom, in the sense that they remind us and the Baruch Hu of how dependent we are on Him for water. We are saying, essentially, we are in your hands, we are Peres Halal B'yadcha, we need Mayim, just as easy as Mayim. What does it mean that you change the meaning Halal? Yiv Sharbalo Mayim. So, I found that both Rabbeinu Michaya and the Maharil say exactly the same thing. I haven't seen any other perusha with this, so I don't know that anybody agrees with this. What this means is that these are uniquely dependent on water. It says, Arad Minan Elu Heng Gedelam Al Mayim, it's written, Mashkaz Mayim Yoser Mishar Peres. General, and this I only know from the sixth. In general, vegetation requires a lot more water than fruits. There's really one exception of a fruit which requires basically as much watering as vegetation, namely the citron. Yes, yeah, look it up. I did. It's true. That the main assumption, I mean, it could be that now, I mean, citron has very many descendants, so it could be that, you know, although any citrus fruit is a descendant of the citron. Could be that probably is true of all the descendants, but main assignment is giving. Sorry, the Brinichai says, again, same thing in the Maharil, right? Mishum the osa minin tsrichin mayim yoser, and you call shara minin, and the sukkah is chag gush dan al mayim. So, in identifying why these serve as instruments and how these serve as instruments in the ritual, the Gemara says, because these are uniquely dependent entirely upon water. And here I would suggest, very simply, that perhaps the role they serve and the reason that they were chosen as instruments of Simcha and Halal is precisely the same as the reason they were chosen according to this Gemara for prospective tefillah, because we were praying for water and therefore we need to use these as symbols of our dependence upon the Baruch Shalom. It's the same feature, which is the reason that they're particularly suited for the retrospective halal, the hodah, the simple. Namely, the fact that they are so dependent upon water. The Dalaminim are concretized, they're vehicles for the simcha that we take part of in the crop. And here in particular, I would argue that in the sense of halal, the hodah, directing the simcha towards the Baruch Shalom, they represent uniquely the shkach hashem over this past year's agricultural season. The same point that makes it ideal as a ritual for next year's crop makes it ideal as the implement representing the success, the Rabbonu Shalom's matana, kivrecha Hashem, the symbol for the Rabbonu Shalom's Hashkacha in the prior year. These meaning success, their being here, is only possible if there was Mayim. It's specifically Mayim which we want to highlight, things which depend primarily on water, because it's Mayim, it's the Matar, it's the Rabbonu Shalom's, you know, providing us with the rain, which is really something that man has no role whatsoever. Man has no role, has no ability to cause the rain, even though the Rothschilds are said to control it. It doesn't seem to be that is the case. Rather, that's entirely Manas Shamayim, and in fact, this is something that we stress very, very significantly in the context of Eretz Yisrael. Something unique about Eretz Yisrael is that in Eretz Yisrael, where we ought to be, right, it's entirely dependent upon the rain. This is something which the pasuk stresses. So in Mitzrayim, you irrigate the water, you irrigate your crops with the Nile. That's dependent upon man. The Nile has to be full, but you also, it's largely dependent upon, I mean, it's dependent on the Rishon, but it also, it's human effort. But that's not the case. In Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be dependent upon the Rishon, the tire. This is what the Abarmanel explains, right? Ki haaretz hazos, asher b'shalom yitzah, shesham ha'yisa zorez orech lo mashkeh haaretz me'ilus, kimo sheyashkeh adam barak lo gan erek. L'fizeh lo ha'yisa haaretz tzayim tichel ge'sham. Mitzrayim, your crops don't require as much rain. Eretz Yisrael isn't so. Anam ha'aretz asher tamo grim shem al yishtah, inu kain. Ki im hirak eretz harim u'kos, the matar tzayim tishtemayim, l'fein lo b'ko kachab otzen yadchat ha'asachay al b'eretz ha'u. You come to Eretz Yisrael now, it's not going to be something that you can simply by might bring about. You're going to be dependent upon the Rabbonu Shalom. And this is something that we stress as a theme of Mayim representing Hashkachas Hashem. Right? Basically, what I'm arguing is Mayim represents the ultimate Hashkachas Hashem, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's all dependent upon the Rabbonu Shalom. It has nothing to do with just us. Whether it rains, whether we have successful year, and when we're in Eretz Yisrael, in Tar Shemayim Kishtem Mayim, you need Hashem. And this is what the pasuk therefore uses as the main expression of whether or not the Baruch Hu is happy with us. You say it every day. Etc. And when I'm not happy with you, so the Mayim represents our Baruch Hu's Hashkacha. And therefore, what we're doing in celebrating, rejoicing for what the Baruch Hu has brought, now that we take a moment of satisfaction, we've finally reaped all that we've sown, we take a moment and we thank the Rabbanu Shalom for allowing this to happen. And how do we do that? By taking these things which reflect, which could not be without something which is entirely up to Him. Namely, these minim she'srichet mayim, she'iyashar behem below mayim, the Rabbanu Shalom's hashkacha is particularly manifest in the existence of these, because iyashar lehem below mayim. Who is it that controls the mind? Entar she'mayim v'shtepayim. And so therefore one can argue, I think it makes a lot of sense to say, that is the reason why we use these meaning. And if this is the case, now coming back to the right, I would now suggest that what the Rabbi is saying here is not a general principle, the kol tarkula that he makes. The point is lagavi this mitzvah, lo amesim halalukah. It's specifically lagavi soul yavish. What is yavish?
There's no water.
If this is supposed to be an instrument of my praising the Rosh Hashkacha as represented through the vehicle of Mitar Shemayim, because I couldn't have this fruit alive if not for the intense Mitar Shemayim. So what is the absolute worthless, most worthless thing to use? A dead one. That isn't alive, because it lacks water. Lo HaMesim HaLukah is a pithy way, and I forgot to mention this point. This is a separate point, which is, what kind of mukkar is this for the Rabbi? This is a Dindar Aistam? I think the mukkar for the Rabbi is actually not ultimately, I mean, for the Yerushalmis, in the Rosh Hashanah, it's not. How could that be Makar for the Din Doraisa and Nikol Kalul? The Makar Doraisa, this is Makar Nifnei Sherekin and Shibas Yam. This is a problem then, Yavish, because this mitzvah, this is something you're supposed to be Sameach Nifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mahalo Nifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, representing his Ashkacha, the Mitar Shemayim, Tishtev Mayim that he gave us in the Sati Yishmekem Mitam. That's supposed to be something which I'm celebrating and representing with these things which are uniquely dependent on you. But if they're lacking, if they're dead because they're lacking that element, that's not a praise of the Bona Shalom, not Mesim Yahalvuk, but it's a pithy way of formulating this point, that essentially, as far as this mitzvah, it's Kamisha Eina. It's worse than nothing, almost, because you're taking, you're trying to praise the Bona Shalom with something which is lacking that which it's supposed to be representing. And therefore, specifically in the context of mitzvahs, Ntilas Lulav, Yahvesh is Kamisha Eina, Dami. Kamesh, Kamisha Eina. The lack of precisely what it's lacking is, it needs to be a chetzah shavoi lahalal shabbat lamakom, and it's being brought to lahalal shabbat lamakom is precisely in its lachus, because it's something which needs that lachus, which Rabbeinu Shalom provides. That's the whole point. Yavish is kamisha eino. It's not just a defect in terms of it's not a good one, it's a non-entity. And this, I think, almost Rabbeinu Mechaya, I'm not saying he says it, but it's essentially, I think Rabbeinu Mechaya comes kind of close to this, and he ends up connecting it. He doesn't quote the rabbi as far as I know. But he does quote Teshita. He says, "While that's sake of time, that means a little late was a free who he used so, cut into being with smack malachi, a huddle, yos lay hoots on who he used on, shumer, so gone, etc., etc. It didn't take exactly the way, but came on and called Shonu, who had torn the sooner on the shooting because they're etc., etc." So then he says, "Well, cock, well, mitzvah, she needs all smack my elevala, and nefesh, it's a mefesh of a hen, simon a chaim, right? The mind is simon a chaim. The kalis behind the thing I don't call a nipper lim chaim. So, kind of a zechel davar in the Minuchai, precisely in this application, he doesn't say the right, but that's the right bit. Right, that lo mesing haluka is a pithy way of saying, but it's not a pithy way of saying hadar. It's a pithy way of saying, Ismachim te shimkim shimas yam. The Iyashar behind the Lomayim represents our tefillah, but retrospectively represents what we're celebrating for the Rebbeinu Shalom having provided us, and Lo Amesim Yahaluka. That's what I would suggest. And I think, just as a final sort of hashkafic point, I think it's clear that the Torah's Kabbinah Sud is obviously applying at all times. So if this is something which we don't feel so acutely because we're not agricultural, but that doesn't mean that the message isn't the same. And the message is, you know, whatever our Marsh design is, back then it was agriculture, today it's largely not. The idea that the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know, that it's time to reflect and to think, you know, now that we've arrived at this moment of spiritual satisfaction and the moment of economic satisfaction, so the economic part is not as immediately obvious to us, but it nonetheless Torah provides for us at times, not the choma seyedecha, or shibirachti, the time to reflect and to consider the Rebbeinu Shalom's bounty and his blessings that he provided us. We dive in prospectively that representing mine is Mizanu Shaladam, you know, that prospectively he should bless us again. But it's important to take a moment also to retrospectively consider, you know, our being here representing the Rebbeinu Shalom's beneficence and thanking him for it. Okay? That's a suggestion. Yeah.
Thank you.